Fresh Takes.
Things first, Jake. Have you seen The Office?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Who's your favorite character in The Office?
Probably Jim, but I might change my mind with a rewatch.
Are you kidding me? Dwight. Dwight's the best office character.
It might be Dwight. Jim's kind of a jerk.
Right. You've seen The Office. That's fine. How about that Office remake called Parks and Rec?
Oh, dude, I love Parks and Rec.
What was that?
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think Parks
easily.
Chris Traeger was the ball.
You're kind of Chris Traeger. Dude, Aziz. Right. Okay.
You've seen The Office. You've seen Parks and Rec. What about Office 2.0?
Is that Severance?
Yeah, dude. That's Severance. This is like Serious Office. Office game.
Directed by Zoolander.
It is. It is directed by Zoolander. Ben Stiller.
Dude, there's some like moments there's some moments with like Ben Stiller where I'm just like, especially first season where they're doing work and they're always taking walk breaks and like they're barely on their computer, and when they're on the computer they just stare, move numbers, and I'm just like, does anyone know how real work like actually works?
Any of the actors actually know what work is like?
They're like, Ben Stiller's doing, because I'm just like, Ben Stiller's doing it. I'm like, Zoolander's doing this, and I'm like, and I know Ben Stiller's not Zoolander, but I'm just like, I just feel like it's a Zoolander approach to like how work is actually done, especially like office work. Now, I don't have a whole lot of like experience in an office job setting. I know, Don, that that's kind of like
it's kind of got some of it on it. I mean, I know definitely more work done, but could you imagine filming just the work? But now let's do it on me. Anyway, Ben Stiller. It's great. We're talking Office 2.0, a.k.a. Severance, today with my man, Jake Shitbig. Something. That's what I always call you. It's your last name. I can't really pronounce it.
Sherbing? Yeah, you got it the first time.
Yeah, Jake Shitbig? No.
I've never actually had anyone call me Jake Shitbag before. I haven't, I'm surprised because I've heard Shebang. I've heard Seabiscuit. I've never heard Shitbag before. Yeah, so, I mean, like,
can't pronounce your last name.
I mean, way to, like, add to my nickname, you know,
no, repertoire. No, in school calls
I mean, it's not. The moment passed in high school. I'm surprised no one's called me that in high school.
I have so many questions about this.
Okay.
The show. I don't know if you're the same as me, and you're so intrigued by the mystery of all.
It's a show that you think about often. It's one that, like, the way I see it, it's kind of just resemblance of real life in general. Not necessarily like your brain switch off, but you do switch personalities when you're at work. You have your work personality, and then you have like your home personality. And it's like two different things. And I've had like exes who were just like, you're two different people. I see you with your work people and you're like, you're happy, you're lucky go, you know, happy go lucky. And then you get home and you do nothing. And it's like, well, it's called masking, but like,
Work is exhausting. That's all. You're hungry. Mm-hmm. I have one super important question for you. You can answer for me. What are the goats for? I haven't seen the last couple episodes.
Oh,
are you astonished by the goats here?
Full spoiler warning. I think we're going full spoilers. Full spoilers. We're not holding anything back. Season 2, season 1 spoilers. If you haven't watched it and you're watching this or listening to it, stop. At least if you care about spoilers.
I'm gonna break into it.
Okay, what are the goats for? I mean, the first part that I think of is the first thing that we're told, the information we're given is they're a sacrifice. What for? Who fucking knows? But they're a sacrifice. That's the wording they used.
The crazy goat paintings they have around the office. I don't know if you've kind of been in the first couple seasons.
I have not.
They're like everywhere, and you watch them, and you're like, This is a little creepy. I don't know what to think of the goats.
Are they sacrificing it to a god? Is there like more lore in that way? Or is this like, is there an actual purpose to goats being sacrificed?
In question, is like Kier, is Kier more a god character? Or is he more like a devil character? Like, what do you give Kier, or the main person? Like, what do you...
Jesus?
Pin him as.
A prophet?
Jesus, you put... Jesus.
Oh, I'm not saying he's Jesus, but I'm saying like he fits more as like a prophet. That's like how I see like Irving sees him. Like he kind of comes off as a prophet, this like chosen one of God, so to speak.
Yeah, he seems very chosen,
mm-hmm.
very high up on himself. He seems very arrogantly weird the way they worship him.
Also, just the weird goat dance after like the waffle party.
The waffle parties. Yeah. Hey, those waffle parties are great, dude.
Dude,
experience anything.
I will say, like, for an office party, they really know how to throw down. Like, Mr. Milchick knows how to fucking throw an office party. It's weird as fuck. But they know how to throw an office. Like, they have a whole marching band department. He does.
Oh, at the end, office party. Like, that was
the funeral with the melon. Like, the fact that he spends hours just carving this melon that looks exactly like Irving for the funeral. I'm like, it's...
Yeah, that's creepy.
Have you ever had a boss carve your face into a melon?
No, but I have so many questions about Milchick, which I'm going to get to.
I do, too. He's a theater kid who got really serious in the corporate world.
But I really want to talk about, like, the first one question.
All right.
Putting aside, he's doing all the stuff. It could have been really good achievement, but you know it's kind of because they give you evil music. But in real life,
okay.
As far as a moral dilemma question,
yeah,
would severance be a negative thing or a good thing? What would you think?
Negative.
The actual severance. Do you think it'd be negative? People sever their bodies?
I mean, there's just a lot of ethical... it raises a lot of ethical questions. You're sacrificing a part of yourself so the other part doesn't have to experience that hell. And you're also allowing yourself to be easily manipulated, easily abused, and it does have effects on your physical body. It may not have effect on your mental, you know, capacity, which I think is why they're experimenting. Like, hey, how much physical torment can we give to a person? And if we sever them, does that transfer over? And I believe that's what they're trying to do with Gemma. And I think that's like their whole experiment, especially with Cold Harbor. Like, hey, here's this.
How many times can you sever this person in different personalities?
Yeah.
You create your own being is what it looks like.
And so,
my person that I want.
Which is probably what they're doing with the goats. They're probably experimenting with the goats. If we're... the sacrificing part, I think, is more or less maybe like the lore or like the thought process. Maybe they say it to think to put into this religion. I wouldn't be surprised if that whole department is like more or less a religious study on top of a hey, we're going to nurture these goats for experiments. But you know what? Let's run our own experiment. You know what this? You know what this company reminds me of? Lumen. And maybe this is a reference you get, maybe this is a reference you don't get. This company reminds me of Vault-Tec from Fallout.
Yeah, it does.
Like, just very experimentive. Like, hey, every vault, we're going to do some other things to it. Like, it reminds me of Vault-Tec.
Would it change this vault and change that one? Yeah, we're like, going to do different items.
Do they do good for the world? Yeah, kind of. But really, they're kind of evil fucking people.
I mean, they've been millions of people to get there.
Well, does Lumen murder people?
I don't know. It's good. I mean,
were they going to murder Gemma, or is that like the leading theory? We don't know. We're so in the dark.
Yeah, we don't know how Gemma got down there. Yeah, we have no idea. That's what makes it so intrigued. Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, she got down.
We don't even know what's going on. We have no idea what's going on with the world because it's always like cold and dark and it looks grim.
It's always winter. It's always terrible. The world looks awful.
It's also just like, I think that's a question that I have is, what the fuck is happening in this world where people like actually want to be severed?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. That's why I like the characters that they chose. Like, Mark makes a lot of sense to be severed. Wife, didn't have time. First start the show, you know, his wife dies in a car accident.
Yep.
So he can't deal with himself, so he's like, I'm going to be severed, so I am. And that brings my next kind of point. Like, people like you, when you say you go to work, people like, you're always so chipper and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your work self would be your better self compared to your original self? Nuts to think about for a second?
I mean, I thought of it that way before, just when an ex brought it up, you know, just like dating wise, like, oh, you're so, you know, energetic. And it's like, well, that's my mask, right? That's my, that's where like my energy goes for the day. And then I'm just dead tired. And you see like real me, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, especially as an ADHD individual. Like that's more or less what happens. But I just from a mental standpoint, how does an innie do it every single day? Because you don't escape.
Well, they don't know anything. That's the thing, they don't know anything. It's better if they're innie. That's our life, which goes to a whole other question I'll get towards the end. I think like Dylan too. He's so much better of a person within like just a few meetings. He got his wife to this dilemma.
Is he
in love with him because he was just a badass down there compared to what he was on the outside?
It's true.
Crazy.
But like my question is like, I have a question of like, how different are the innies and outies? Because to me, they're relatively very close and similar to their own. Like they're not much different, but they're always treated as like, oh, it's a whole different person. But I'm like, Helly and Helen, like Helena, they're both conniving as fuck.
Yeah.
Mark S. Like both of the Marks are very like, I don't know, like. Calm chill, temperament.
Calm, yeah, very relaxed. I mean, they're both very, very similar, but they're both very. Like, almost enhances each flaws of each side, which I think is kind of fun. That's what I like to share. Like, you see the flaws of one side of you, your healthy self, and you see the flaws of the innie work self. Like, I think about me when I work. Like, I'm a very red person when I work, very direct, you know, point and nose. And outside out of work, I'm really not that direct.
You are. I can.
So I think, but hey, there's like poor me still, but there's like these flaws at each end of the spectrum, you know. But they're very much still me.
Yeah.
Which it brings this whole show to my concept. That's why I love it so much. It's this whole concept of like it makes too much sense. Like,
no.
Why? I fucking love it.
It makes sense because I thought about you and like work, and I'm like, I'm curious how work you is. I know Audi you. I don't know any you, and you don't know any me. I know Audi you, or you know Audi me.
I don't know any you. Never seen any you. Me, you texted me. Would we be friends? Would any me be friends? That's a good question.
You think?
I feel like we would because you'd be fun at work. You know, you'd probably get your job done and stuff like that.
Yeah, if I'm motivated.
For serious hours, pretty. Yeah, I'm very direct, strong will, usually at work too. It's like, I think maybe.
Yeah,
how do you ask to be friends? How do you ask to be moral?
I don't know. I'm pretty chill when it comes to like work life. I'm usually like easygoing. I'm known as like the calm person at work, which is odd because like I am like usually calm, but like inside my head, I'm usually like freaking out. Probably because like kids are just screaming in my face and I'm just like, but inside, I'm just like, man, these motherfuckers, like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm, pretty easy going, pretty easy, like, I don't even know how to explain it.
But you would consider it. So, like, innies and outies. So, at this point, you know, it's been a few years. But is it technically two different people at that point, then? What's your thoughts on that?
I feel like they're the same person. I just feel like it's just different aspects of experience.
Yeah, so we go back to the end here where Mark's talking to try to get his innie to merge together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a thing when his innie feels like he's going to get shafted because he's only been alive for a few years versus Mark's 20.
Yeah.
30 or whatever it was. Do you think that would shift one side to the other?
I think it's a fair counterpoint. Like, how much of me is left if I don't have a whole lot of me and you have a lot of you? But then again, like, if you think of it, like, if we shift our brains, it's still 80-90% you. But then again, like, if you shift into somebody, you are also your outie.
Yeah, don't you see, like, this is what perplexes me. How do they see? Is it, like, a completely different vision?
Yeah, it's...
Or is it, this is what, like, drives my mind.
It's almost like... It's like a like the DID Moon Knight situation where like a different personality, you know, switches over. Like this, it's more or less that. But it's like they're still the same person at the end of the day. This consciousness is still shared.
Yeah, I mean, the body's shared. Everything's shared. You get hit at work in the face and they write a fake note. Like, yeah, you got hurt because the projector fell on your head. Episode one. Like, all right, I'll take it.
Or like, you know, just like Kelly, like with, you know, the strangulation and then she goes up. Like that trauma does transfer over. It's such a weird show. It's a weird thing that I honestly, it feels real in the near future if they ever develop this technology. I think there's the absolute question of, do you do it, do you not? Is it even an ethical thing to do? I think both answers for me is no. At least for the aspect of, like, if you're in the only experience work life, like, how are you productive?
Yeah. What else are you doing outside of that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing community-wise? Anything else or anything? You work for like a corporate conglomeration, which is like, all right.
That's your life
now. It does do that very well, though, too. The work conglomeration, like, we're going to have a work party for your success. You know, it's like, yes. Yes, that's exactly it. Pizza party, except they call it a waffle party. I'm like, yes.
It's like sad and lame, but I'm also like, it's low-key a better work party than a lot of the work parties I've been a part of.
Yeah, let's be honest. Our work parties are terrible.
Yeah,
the idea is that was supposed to be like a terrible party too, which it kind of was if you think like you look at the party. It's like, yeah, they're pretty dear.
It's just Zoolander's version of like, oh, bad work party. It's like, well, it's kind of cool in its own aspect. Like, imagine just like, here you go. Here's a year of your work. You get a carved little crystal version of your head. I'd be like, that's kind of lame, but also kind of dope. You could have used that resources on something a lot more meaningful, maybe give me a good bonus, but at least it's kind of like, you know, rememberable. I feel like most businesses these days are just like, here's this really cheap thing that...
Here's a t-shirt for your success that has my company's name on it.
Yeah, you can go to the company store and you can buy clothes with the company's name on it. I mean,
thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I will wear this never outside of work. Damn it, it is Innie's.
Yeah, right.
I do.
Right, so I want to kind of take this. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. All
so
you.
I kind of want to take this in somewhat for all. Things that we just don't know. But in like the chronological fiction, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
So like in episode 2, season 1, we met the Borg.
Yes.
Kind of. Who is the Borg? What is the Borg? Who do you think
the Borg is? I'm assuming it's nothing different than like a board of a regular company. So I'm assuming it's people who are invested. It's people who probably... Here's another theory that I have about the board that's related to the board. I feel like what they are doing is trying to figure out if they can move consciousness to other bodies. Like, I almost feel like it's a Get Out situation. Maybe I think it's because of Get Out, but I think it's people on the board who are very looking forward for Cold Harbor. It seems like that's the big thing. They're either a bunch of investors that are looking to use this in other companies, or they're a bunch of older folks who are looking to move their consciousness, if that theory holds true.
But it's take over someone else's body?
I think that's...
What's fucked up?
Shit. Maybe it's not the direction they're going.
The greatest scientific achievement.
But like with the little Miss Wong, I'm just like, why else would you have a fucking teenager in this process?
Yeah, it's... creepy. Did you see like the story of how they got raised? It's like how Milchek was raised and stuff. They took Check and Miskel back.
Yeah.
So they got raised into this to become like worshippers of here, basically. That's how they start as a young age. They do this whole process and they get moved to the next facility.
Aren't they just creepy? Aren't they just always innies at this point?
Yeah, it seems like they're permanent innies if you ask me.
Yeah. So I don't know. Almost. That's
the way they keep their conscience the whole time.
Yeah. Maybe.
they create, like, I think about, like, Catholicism or, like, Mormonism, when I think about, like, the fear of people. Hmm. They worship this guy that is clearly doing something fucking wild.
Yeah.
Here, we love him. He's the greatest. We will do whatever we need.
It's very cultish.
Yeah. Very much so. It feels like a cult.
Mm.
I mean, even the second episode, they're talking about the cult. And, like, this is a cult. And this severance program. I'm like, oh. I feel them, man. We're season two now. I'm like, yeah, this is 100% some weird ass cult shit. That they started at a young age.
I mean, with all the goat people wearing their shit and they're just acting crazy. I'm just like, how are they not having any type of religious ties? Especially with, like, you know, the religious, like, paintings on top of it. It's like they're definitely poking at fun at religion with this.
They're definitely like hardcore giving the religion a little pokey stick. Like,
I don't know if it.
This is how ridiculous sometimes you sound.
I don't know if there's, like, specifically going into, like, Mormonism, but, like, it does appear that it's very similar.
Yeah, Mormonism or, you know, evangelicals.
Yeah,
evangelical Christians that they're going poking that bear pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's some Jewish. I don't know. Major religions like Jewish or stuff like that. So they'd have to tell me if there's, you know, the same type of culty religion over there. They're definitely poking fun at the pulpit.
Oh, for sure.
So Natalie, the one that talks to the board.
Yes.
Is she actually speaking to someone? Because the board never seems to speak. Do you think it's like Kier's conscience? And they're trying to write in and bring Kier down?
Like, maybe the board is like an AI or a version of Kier, and she talks. That is interesting.
Spy theory. AI Kier.
Okay.
They're trying to bring him back after they move these consciences around. Maybe they can bring him into, like, somebody like Gemma's body. So it's both harder spot. Destroy the body enough to upload a new emotional set.
So our theory wasn't too far off.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, our theories aren't too far off. I like your theory with, like, AI, it's Kier's, like, consciousness trying to move it back. That would make sense with the religious themes. With Natalie, I don't know. I don't know what to think of her. It's a weird dynamic. I don't know if it's a simple, like, yeah, she's just, like, we just like to have this weird connection. She's the only one who can talk with the board. We're going to have one degree of separation here. Or if it's just there's something else completely entirely. Or maybe she is the board. Maybe it's all five consciousness into her body.
She just speaks it. Yeah. Who is Natalie? Why is she the only one that gets to talk to the board?
Like, she is the board.
Ellie would know. Both the board or you. They would have some sort of consciousness. If even they talk, you need to speak to the ball. That's one of my main questions. I don't know who they are. It's kind of intriguing me. I still want to find out the board. I feel like they won.
Season 3.
The second half of season 2?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, we saw in the first few episodes, but then we didn't see her again the rest of season 2.
I don't know if she's that... I don't know if she's going to be that big of a character. Like, she's creepy. She's there.
Or did we lose the board? Like, does the board matter?
Oh, they matter.
Does that actually matter? Definitely have to
know. Yeah.
The villain. Which brings me to my next character, Mr. Milchak.
I love him.
I love Milchak, dude.
He's so
Milchak
great.
Is great. So, such a good follower, and you can see the slow cracks that he's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good character development. I hope he does just fully goes against him.
I just love how,
Miss Cobell. I still feel like Cobell's evil as fuck.
Yeah, I really enjoy Mr. Milchak. He's probably my favorite character just because he's like the bad guy, but he's like trying to do good in like the worst way. Like he's still like a corporate, lame, but he's like, you know what? We're going to throw these really extravagant parties. We're going to have fun with like the corporate money. It's like, awesome.
And his gosh dang demeanor smile.
It's like
stupid shit. Fuck you, Milchak.
He's just like, you know what? Like, I like you as much as I like any corporate shell, but I can't go further until you're not a corporate shell.
Yeah, he's definitely like a corporate like leader. He reminds me of those like corporate managers that very much like, you know, you have those people in your workplace that just believe in the company for no shit reason at all.
Yeah.
They give you some racist photo and you're still like, I got this for the company. You're like, you remind me a lot of managers. You play the manager part well. That's why they gave it to you.
I just love the theater kid aspect to him. Just like positive. Yes. I'm going to put all my effort into like the theatrics to make sure that they're having a great like time while they're in there. It's like, but that's not the problem, dude. The problem is you're still holding them against their will. Like you're still making them work. And that's their only life. Like you're doing your best, but it's not good enough.
I'm going to bring you out to this retreat. The first vacation they get is just a frozen tundra wilderness.
It's all for you. Yay. And then, like,
I love the lies, too. This is the largest waterfall in the world.
Or just the lie of, like, you guys did well. Your revolution set off everything. And, like, in real life, like, it was just swept under the rug. But just, like, I love the puppeteering. Like, they had a whole-scale puppeteer, like, commercial made for them. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. How much effort did you put into just, like, tricking them? Like, who thought of that?
I love seeing the slow break. Like, towards the end, the Devour Flatulence quote. Oh, man, that was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Was break fully done. Mm-hmm. Then you see the next couple episodes try to get that 100% still. I'm like, all right, we'll check it.
Dude, that fucking performance. That performance review, I think a lot of us can relate to that performance review.
When you just
open it up and you're just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is the fucking thing you're complaining about? Uses too big of words.
Yes, exactly. I agree on it. All of us have been in that review process where they give you the most shittiest things so they don't have to, like, give you a raise or some shit.
Yeah,
the corporate bullshit that comes with it. Like, oh, we have too many raises this year, so we had to be a little softer. Like, what the crap?
Or no one gets an excellent performance even though we tell you how excellent you are. Or
all the time.
Or hey, do you remember this thing that you struggled on for like the first week you worked there? Yeah, we're going to put that in your performance review. I've had that happen before. It's like, that's not an issue for me. Oh, yeah,
bring up the one time you did something.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Even if you did 90 million other great things.
You remember when we broke you down for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then you finally yelled back and like in anger over a new policy change, over the 14th policy change, and you yelled out against us? Yeah, we're holding that against you. It's like,
yeah, we're putting that in your performance review.
It's like, all right,
speaking of, I just got to write up for 200.
So for real?
Like, I'm your lead revenue person. Like,
oh.
They were complaining that, it's so embarrassing, long story short, somebody canceled meeting. Policy says we should go. I'm like, no. It's just they just really keep on like, doing that. Like, I get that. But like, this one was a legitimate cancel. I canceled the meeting because they weren't ready for it.
Yep.
And like, you got to go. And I told them no. And they got moving the meeting.
Jeez.
So yeah, I had a whole write-up call. I'm a big general. So
how dare you be ethical, man?
Yes.
How dare you be?
How dare you be forgiving and forgetting?
I've been there in the billable hours. The whole like, hey, the top boss is like, you got to do more billable stuff, and then I have like my supervisor or like my person that I work with, they're like, ethically, you can't bill for this, this, and this, and this, so you only have this hours. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting yelled at from two different people. I can't ethically bill here, but I'm getting yelled at bill these things. It's like, God help me. All right.
You ever have? What do you want?
Worked there for like
Bill check was like
two
like
months
in his review.
Yeah, it's like, what do you want from me? Don't use big words. It's like, no, they just want to shit on you. At the end of the day,
wanted you to make me feel less than them. That's all it is. That's like, Milchek, I hope you break and I hope you come to the hero. I want Milchek to be a hero.
I do too. I do really enjoy Milchek. All right, Cobell's next.
Cobell, yeah.
Okay.
She's a villain. God damn, she's the creepiest woman I've ever seen. The way her eyes look the whole time. I'm like, yeah, she's fucking crazy.
Who's like more crazier? Because I have a couple like I have a couple segments that I want to put in there, but I have like some I have like one where like I have a problem, and my two biggest problems is one, Cobell having a neighborly relationship with Mark while also being his boss. Like, to me, that's like that's kind of fucked up. Like, you have this close, intimate, neighborly relationship with Mark, the Audi Mark. But on the inside, and you're still the same exact person. On the inside, you're his boss who's more or less torturing and tormenting him.
Yep.
And then my
you're cool with that.
And my next one, which is Helen G. sneaking down in season 2. And then having sex with Mark as Helen G.
Yeah.
Helen E. Sorry.
Yeah. Having sex with Mark—that's like that's rape, dude.
It is. Well,
I was like, holy crap.
It is in a sense. It gets really weird ethically.
Let me apologize to you. I don't know anything for what it's like, but like that's anyway shouldn't happen. It was beyond. I'm okay with this.
It's like just like what the fuck is wrong with her? Because we don't see Helen E. from like for most of like the rest of the season after that. It's just like your plan was to go sneak in, and then you have this trip, and Milchuk knows what you're doing and knows that you have sex with her, and like it's allowed and it's okay and it's approved. Like at one point. It's just at one point you're like between Milchuk and Helen E. like maybe we shouldn't have sex with an unknowing person. Like, is this not
that doesn't know if this is you or her? I mean, technically you're the same person, but at the same time, it's a little bit.
It's ethically
a little messed up.
It's sexual assault at the very least, but also just like it's a boss having sex with their employee too.
Yeah, there's that too as well. Yeah.
At that point, is it not that relationship? So, I don't know, I'm like, what's weirder, Helen E. having sex with Mark, or Cobell having this neighborly close relationship with Mark while being the boss?
So I think they're both villains, dude.
They are.
They're both evil. They're both, like, although Helen kind of showed, like, Helen E. showed, like, some sort of loving compassion, like, she hates the family she actually lives in.
Yeah.
She also said after the sex. So she has like a long lust for love. What?
She's a victim in her own right.
Yeah, she is a victim that way, but still mad that don't do that. And you have Miss Cobell too. Both situations, like even Miss Cobell taking care of Dad's baby. Like,
yeah, it's.
On a scale from high to even just can't.
Like, or Helen,
I never trust that lady.
Or Helena being just like, you're not a real person. You don't get to quit. And just like, you're telling that to your fucking self. Like that, you're telling the other version of you, you're not a real person. Fucking deal with it. I will say, like, Helena is just like, all right, I'm not a real person. Well, then I'm not murdering myself. With the hanging. That's such a ballsy move.
Ellen E. and Helen R. have some ballsy. Anyway, that actress did a really good job.
Yeah, she's great.
She was above a certain name.
I forget. I don't recognize her.
Seen her anything. I think she's in a couple other things, but I haven't never seen.
I mean, she looks like I feel like I've seen her in other things.
Brit Lower, yeah. She did such a good job. That's her.
Yeah.
She did pretty good from both sides. Her, Cobell, evil as can be.
I was
Cobell, saying... Devin trusting Cobell blows my mind. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You trust her over the lady that's trying to merge Mark together so they can save Gemma. You trusted the lady that was stalking your brother. Because this lady that basically had an inappropriate relationship.
What do you think of the lakeside cabin with the severance of the pregnant ladies?
Oh, like, yeah, that's also weird.
Like,
that's messed up.
Right?
Well, you get to get severed so you don't remember the experience of giving childbirth. Isn't that, like, the experience you should have? Maybe?
Forgo
it?
It's a very traumatic experience for the woman, or it can be very traumatic.
Yeah.
So I guess in that sense, like, I guess you don't want to experience that trauma, but, like, I know other women, it was like, no. It was like, it was such a, like, horrible experience, but the payoff was worth it.
You gotta think about, like, life experience in general. Like, you know, like, that's a major life experience to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do agree if you're gonna have struggles and stuff, it makes sense. I still find that very good. To break this kind of agreement, this year severed for the pregnancy.
Ooh, I'm curious if Sapphire would make that, if she would take that.
She'd be a good person. I mean, we're not the right gender, I think, Dex.
This is fair. Question. This is fair. Not the right biological sense. I don't know. I think it really depends on, like, your experience. It depends. But it is, in a sense, fucked up. I do have another question, too. Like, if you are constantly severing your bad experiences, does that not, in a way, make your outie a really shit person? Because you're robbing, like, you're robbing those experiences that, like, shapes you as a human.
Yeah, what do you learn, actually? Like, do you actually get to learn if you don't know your experiences?
Or do you learn if you don't go to work? Like, Dylan, like, outside him, he's a piece of shit. Like, the dude just doesn't do anything. He's very entitled. And
take care of his kids. Remember when he picked up his kid?
And, like, then he goes and he's this whole different person, this whole very badass of a person, but it's like, he doesn't have that memories. He doesn't grow up with that. So he literally goes there, his lazy self, he just has to groom himself, and then boom, you check out, you check back in, and you are tired, and you check out for the rest. Like, I think of that existence, I'm like, dude, the dude's just checked out.
Speaking of that, was my next character I was going to ask you about, Dylan. But Dylan G, his whole arc he's got going on between his wife, his family, mm-hmm. his kids. With Dylan, first off, do you feel like it was cheating for his wife to do that?
No.
I didn't think it was. I was like, I think that's the version that she fell in love with was that Dylan before Dylan became a piece of shit because he didn't have experience.
If my wife was going to cheat on me, right? And it was, like, if she's going to cheat on me with another version of me, which is in still my physical body, my first thought, I feel like, would be, one, there would be a sense of betrayal. But also, it'd be like, if she's going to sleep with someone else, wouldn't it be the best choice to be the other version of me? Because isn't it not just me?
Which makes me think about Dylan. Like, was Dylan better? Like you said, is he entitled now that he's severed? He doesn't have to deal with the work stuff and deal with getting that job. And now he's becoming more of a shit human. I mean, he even talks about that at the end when he first writes that letter back to Dylan himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a much better person than him.
Yeah.
So you're going to stay in there. Basically.
You need to exist because I get money for you being a good person. It's... Yeah, you're severing the good version of yourself. Or maybe not the good version, but you're severing the hard worker person. You're severing that person from yourself. And it's such a... I also really like the name Severance because it works as, like, you're severing yourself, but also, like, work severance.
Yeah, Severance. Fits.
Yeah.
Severance package.
Yeah. All right, you got more?
I was going to say for Dylan's character... I think as far as characters go that get reintegrated, I would almost rather see just completely horrible. You see Dylan's innie become Dylan's outie, but then again, Dylan's innie's also kind of a piece of shit. He gives up so easily.
True.
That happens, he's like,
I'm done.
But then he did convince
Well, that's why, like, if you, like, reintegrate, do you get the best versions of yourself or the worst versions? Or is it a mixture of both? Like, are you just not a whole person if you reintegrate at this point?
Besides the person.
Which is but like I'm thinking like for Mark, I'm just like the whole if you reintegrate, are you just not the same whole person as you were prior to Severance? You have those shit memories.
It's a good question. Yeah, a couple of the characters will finish the last couple. What's Mark's story in all this? Especially at the end here. We're just going to talk straight at the end. Talk details about the show. I think people should watch it. What do you think Mark is headed?
I mean, Mark's whole purpose was to work on Gemma and essentially create those separate consciousness for Gemma. His mission is complete. What purpose does he have? That's my question. For the whole choosing Helena over Gemma, I think it makes sense for his Innie's character. Like, he's choosing love.
Yep.
What does that mean for those two? They have to somehow find a way to escape within that world or find a way to escape and still maintain control.
How does that work?
How
do they stay in that world? You're in a box. Like, they're literally in a box.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to actually try to kidnap Helen and force her to reintegrate. I feel like that's what they're going to try to do. I don't know what else he'd do.
Yeah, what else? Yeah, I have no idea what else he'd do. They can't live in the little... It's basically living in a 100,000 square foot Walmart for the rest of your life.
Basically.
Otherwise, the second you leave, that's it. Why would they bring you back?
But, like, you have other departments that murdered each other. Like, that's in the history of Lumen. So it's not, like, necessarily a safe place, and you have to, like... So, I don't know. It's, like, a weird, like, you have to be in those places where, like, that switch is on, or you have to figure out a way to permanently switch your innie to your outie, which I think could happen. That could be another Season 3 thing that happens, is they find a way to switch their innies with their outies, and then Gemma tries to convince Mark to be with her while he's like, no, I'm going to be with Helly, but, like, they're trying to switch him back. I feel like that's the only really Season 3 thing you could do, but I guess I could be wrong. I don't know.
That's what I think. That's always the nice part of Gemma's story, too. So then Gemma has to be able to convince him to come.
What does Gemma do? Yeah, convincing Mark to go back. But, like, can she be public? Hey, I'm not dead anymore.
I have no idea what Gemma does. Does Gemma just hide in the... Where does Gemma go? With Devin and Miss Cabal? That sounds creepy.
Yeah.
So this point of Devin trusting Cabal, this whole thing.
That fine. Too. Can Cabal be trusted? I feel like I'm waiting for her to betray, or this being another version of experimentation. Like, is there no, like, another level?
Gotta be some sort of something. Gotta be some sort of split separation or something.
You'd think. All right. You got any more?
Final question. Then we're going to go to the show, I guess, and stuff like my feelings about it. Well, Lumen is a company. What do you feel?
I mean, more or less, they're kind of like the corporations that I'm used to, but more unethical and able to get through, or they're able to do the unethical shit because of Severance. They're able to be abusive, but they're like, hey, look, we throw all these elaborate parties. And it's like, well, that's not the version that's abusive. It's the fact that they literally do not leave.
I think it's a good play on corporate.
Yeah.
Exaggeration is basically what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
hey,
that's exactly it.
Your work life is your work life.
People. Yep, they extort all their people, all their labor forces, basically, until they're no longer used or needed, and they cut them out. Oh, shoot, there was one more question. But anyway,
shoot it.
Last person, Irv.
Ooh, yes, Irv.
So we didn't see him in the last episode, which is weird. We saw him, like, second last episode, drifting away on the train. We didn't get to see him the last episode. Is he just done in freedom? Ooh,
I think he comes
or
back.
Is he coming back? I think he has to mean something, right?
There's no way
he has all this information.
I think he comes back, but the idea that, like, Bert is, like, this enforcer type that's, like, was supposed to kill him was is incredibly like, wait, what the f wait, what? You know, it's kind of like that their whole storyline where Bert like finds them. It's like, well, we were in love, so you must mean something. So I'm going to let you go, but I was supposed to kill you. So I think Irv comes back, but I think he's a side character from here on out.
You think his story's kind of closed? I just feel like we knew too much. Like, how did he know all that stuff and know the research for living and giving the servants?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to know something that's behind the scenes. What I think he's playing.
He probably worked with Petey, honestly. That's my thought. Yeah.
Because he didn't talk about who was the father.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, down to Petey, and then your son.
Makes sense.
It's like the first quote.
All right,
the people I brought in here on purpose. But.
Okay, I have some questions I want to throw out too.
Let's do it.
All right, do you think any sex is a thing? Like, is that a problem?
Any sex a problem?
Like, because
it happens all the time at the office. What are you talking about?
But I mean, like,
some people meet their wives.
What happens if you get like impregnated from like an innie?
Yeah, that's weird. That would be really.
Also,
is
if
the baby is the baby severed too,
yeah,
or is the baby normal the whole time?
But like, if you're pregnant, if you're pregnant and you go into the severance floor, like, what happens then? I assume the nothing happens to the baby, but like, there is that, like, what happens if, like, in the work life reflects to the out life? Like, if someone gets impregnated, what the fuck ethical, like, dilemma is that? That's one of the questions that I have.
Does the baby never come back into your work? Do you just have the baby outside? Baby, yeah, it's a good ethical one, too. It's a great question. That's not that same thing. Anything that probably was pregnant, too.
Could. Ooh.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right. Last question. I did have more, but I kind of asked them already. What else are they severing? And I don't mean just Lumen. I mean, like, in general. Are they severancing soldiers? Because, like, that's, like, the main thing that I'm, like, I could see them doing that for. Severancing soldiers so there's no trauma. No memory.
We know there's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all matters to, like, the frolic, minimalist, all of those, the five categories were. I think they're severing all of those things. They're severing all those out of people's lives.
Yeah. Dentist,
giant villain is what it looks like.
Doctor, surgery.
Doctors, surgeries, yeah, everything.
Drowning.
Each room. They basically severed every single thing to Tron. Which is why some people are like, Lumen's actually probably a good company trying to get rid of Tron. Like, you know, Lumen's not good. There's no thing.
Like, you need some type of trauma for survival skills.
Yeah. Can't take. Yeah, it's a tough one, but I think they're severing a lot of those things out. You gotta think, if they're doing with pregnancy, my question is, what else would they do?
Dude, soldiers, man. That's like the scariest thing. Like, Winter Soldier-esque. Like, hey, we're gonna wipe your memory. You're just a fucking killing machine. Boom, you're a normal person again. Sleeper soldiers.
Well, they wouldn't know if they only know war.
Last question. Or not last question, but possible last question. Severance, the emergency, like, what is it? The overtime program? The overtime protocol?
The overtime contingency?
How fucking unethical is that? Because, like, you can do that remotely anywhere. And you could...
Shit.
You could remotely do that anywhere with the idea of, like, what if you just did your Winter Soldier version of that person? They could be literal sleeper agents. Everyone could be a sleeper agent. Just
the
boom, severance.
Lumen has the power to just control your conscience like a flick of a switch. Yeah. Lets me know that they're evil as hell. Because, yeah, that's some evil.
Well, at least they need two people. They need two people to agree to do it. So at least there's that ethical contingency. Unless you have long arms like Dylan.
But yeah.
But I'm like, okay, there's like at least that ethical safeguard. Like, okay, you need two people to like overdo it. But it's like also they theoretically could do it in a flip of a switch. And I'm just like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah, well, like, what was your inside personality when they flipped that switch? Like, you could murder your whole family. Like, they turned the switch on, you were the soldier like you're talking about. And you know nothing but war. That's your life. Like, that's all you do. And you get to flip switched and then you can kill everybody around you because you think you're in war.
You could literally, like,
probably at some sort of party or something like that. I mean,
You could literally send someone to a different like country or different part and literally flip them to a sleeper agent, and like they are a second like personality that's just, you know, they can.
What you rank the show? Because I'm curious.
Rating. Where you put it. All right. I did write an actual review. Like I gave it a 5-. I think it's visually stunning. I think the it's great. Mysteries are fun. They unfold to more mysteries. It makes me ask more about it, but like they do give a lot of information, especially season 2. The premise is deep with secrets, lore, mysteries, and just overall intrigued. It's really, its only con is like I feel like the story depends on the finish, and we don't have a finish yet. We don't have a moment that's just like, damn. Season 2 finale, very close. And honestly, you could maybe convince me that it's a 5 solid. But right now, I'm like, I'm at a 5-. I'm like, that's the floor. The ceiling's probably a 5. But I'm like, it's an elite show. I'm happy you recommended it to me. The timing's awful.
yeah, right?
Because I'm just like, all right. Because like, when you like recommended it, I'm like, all right. Invincible, Captain America, Daredevil, Last of Us Part 2. Andor, and then all the movies that come out in the summer, and you're like, Severance, and I'm like, okay, but I have all these Severance, and I'm like, okay, let's look it up, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's pretty well reviewed.
It's got like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. Or
I put in the first episode, I'm just like, okay, oh, and then I finally watched it. I got, ended up getting, what was it? Had to miss a couple days, and then I'm just freaking watched all. I binged like all of it, and it got to a point where I'm just like, all I want to do is watch Severance. I told the wife, just like, all I want to do is just watch Severance because I'm very intrigued with the mystery of the show, and I need to watch more.
That was my shit. I just started watching it one day. Severance, I thought it was gonna be like a work thing, right? Like Severance, mm-hmm. Severance.
Oh, it's so much, so much more.
I like it. And watch the whole goddamn season.
So I'm guessing this is a 5 for you.
No, I still have it a 5-, because I'm the same worry this year. Because I think they have such a great story, and they keep on adding like more and more mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Just have one fear is wrapping it up.
This is what it reminds me of. This is the show it reminds me of, for good or for worse. I will say it at least made it to 2 seasons before it falling apart. This show reminds me of Westworld.
Yes.
So much. It's like, there's a lot of intrigue, a lot of mystery. It's a giant mystery box. But I think Westworld does it. I would say season 1's probably better than season 1 or 2 of Severance. But season 2 of Severance is so much better than season 2 of Westworld. I think Westworld failed to continue the narrative forward, whereas Severance, it wasn't like a mystery box where it's like, aha, season 1, that's it. It's like, no, there's a continuation of season 2. I don't know what they're going to do with season 3, but I know it's going to be a more of a continuation that doesn't completely alter the story.
Yeah.
I don't know what... I don't know how they do that without completely altering the story, but that's what season 2 did. It kept a similar vibe without completely changing like the difference of the story. It's about the Indian and Audi world.
Like the universe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Audi world, but that changing it. Do you think 3 seasons, just like Ted Lasso, they better not be making a season 4?
We'll see.
I think 3 seasons is where they should fold up and have a nice, pretty bow. Maybe 4 at most.
I would say 4. I don't know how they wrap it up, but I also don't know what else there is. Because, like, what is the final story? Is it the love story between Helene, Mark, and Gemma? Like, is that the story, or is it Lumen as a whole? So, I don't know where they go with this. I'm curious, though.
3-4 seasons is about where I put it. Hope so. But yeah, I definitely have it a 5-. I'd give it 5. It's only, that's a big problem, full 5. It was a 5 right now if they ended well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, worst case scenario, I think, for me right now, at least for season 1 and 2, if it doesn't, give season 1 and 2 a 4+, depending on the whole show is finished.
I still give it a 5- for like the first 2 seasons. And honestly, I think worst case scenario for Severance is it becomes Westworld, where I'm so disinterested because the story's so different that I don't finish it. I never finished Westworld. I'm not that interested after season 3. Season 3 is fine. It's just
this is my idea with Westworld. I watched the first 2 seasons, got to season 3.
It's a different show. It's completely different. And I'm like, it's fine. It's just not what I wanted. Westworld is a completely different, full of mystery. Season 1 was. Season 2 was like that, but less so. And then season 3 was like a completely different like action thriller. And I'm like, it's fine. I guess narratively is where the story goes. It's like Hunger Games from Hunger Games 1 and 2 to, you know, 3 and 4. Or part 1, part 2 of, I forget, Mockingjay? I forget what...
Yeah. Movie that they shouldn't have split, but they split it anyway. Yeah, split this one.
Yeah, it's make like money. It's like that movie narratively. That's where the story needed to go, but it's so different than the first one. Whereas Severance season 2, I think, just did such a great job of keeping the same vibe, but also just completely switching the direction. And it just like it felt more of a continuation than like, hey, we're gonna throw in a completely new story that kind of loosely feels the same.
And it'll be 2 years from now, we'll get season 3.
Oh, it's so long. Okay, let's keep it in tradition. Most valuable character.
MVP.
MVC.
Character, MVC. A couple come to mind. Mr. Milchek, I think, is up there as like number 1, number 2.
I really wanted him to put him first, but I have him in a different category.
Dude, it's a different category?
No, I have 2 categories for this.
I have Mark.
I have Helly.
It's kind of the characters. Yeah, I think just Helly, we're missing Helly. But I have like numbers. I have Helly 3. Mark 1, Milchek 2, Helly 3. I just feel like we're missing some Egan story, which maybe that's where we expand.
Yeah. I think Helly's MVC for season 1, by far. Marcus probably MVC for season 2. Together as a whole, I think Mark leads the charge as the protagonist, so in that sense, he's MVC. But I'm really curious in Helly's story. I think that it's like, she's like the weird wrench that like throws the story, because if like Helly wasn't there, Mark just runs out with Gemma, right?
Yeah,
but like because she's there, because of the relationship, Mark stays back. And to me, I'm like, it's just, she's such an intriguing character for the fact that like she is both the boss and the employee
at the same time,
and like that dilemma is just. But I will say Helly from season 1 is a lot better than Helly from season 2. The same character, but like just the importance. So
yeah, I'd say Helly season 1. It's been a while since I watched season 1. Helly season 1.
But Mark, I will say, is, yeah, he's probably MVC if we think about that, Carrie. MVV, most valuable villain.
You think Milchek's a villain? I mean, kind of.
He is the villain!
Oh,
he is and he isn't. He's the villain we cheer for, but that's why I love him so much, because like he is technically in all purposes the antagonist. He is
a villain.
He is the antagonist that maybe switches over.
He's going to be the antagonist that switches over, but I will say yes, Milchek would be the most valuable. Sure. His arc, I mean, I'm going to say, if you want like other good strong antagonists, for some reason I still feel like just the way Miss Cobell looks.
Yeah.
She just looks evil.
She's 3.
Just her face.
She's 3 for me.
Good Lord, just looking at her. Hell, the way she just is. Just creepy.
She pulls it off well.
She pulls off creepy.
Helena is my number 2.
I just don't see her as a villain. I see her when she looked at her. She wanted a lot less love. I would say you can give it to Egan.
The reason why I give it to Helena, because she is straight up the villain from season 1. She's the one who's like, you're not a human.
Yeah,
And
season
then
one,
her
definitely.
completely like coming back and like killing the trust of Helly. Like, I'm like, that's villain shit. That's devious shit that we've seen from Helly from like the first season. I'm like, that devilish, that cunning, conniving personality, you see it both ways. You see it from the innie version working with the innies, and then you see it in the opposite working against them. I think it's just a really cool dynamic that I'm like, she's a cool villain. She is essentially the same, like, she's a villain and a good guy at the same time. It just depends on what version of her is present, and you don't know because they're very similar.
Yeah, I got too many questions about Melanie before I can make it. You know, like you said, Milchak. Milchak's not only a villain, but he's a villain.
Mr. Drummond's
Melanie, I
four
can
for
still
me.
see Mr. Drummond.
He's a
He's a good villain. He's absolute. You know, he's a villain.
he's a villain, yeah.
But just in his story, he seems like a pawn in the screen, like, for
Yeah,
sure. He's just
yeah.
a brute force, but still, yeah, he's a villain.
All right, I have two more. Best Audi, best any.
Best Audi.
Yep.
Irv.
Oh, I'll do one better for you, Bert.
Irv. Yeah, like Irv
He
Bert. Yeah, that
was
makes sense
trying
too.
to. He does kill people, so he might put them down. But it just the fact that he let Irving go, I'm like, that's a good outie. Like you recognized your innie's love, and you accepted it, you embraced it, and then you did right by Irving. To me, I'm like, you win. Best outie. Devin's
That's
second.
the best one.
Devin's second. I don't know.
Devin, I can't give her credit. She's like, Miss Cobell,
That's
never.
fair.
I would never. What are you thinking?
Best.
What? That's the lady you're going to trust.
Best. All right, best innie. Best innie.
Best innie.
I have it down to two people.
Like Dylan.
I think you'd go Dylan. I went Helly. I'm a huge fan of Helly, but Dylan also deserves the consideration for number one. But he did run out like a little bitch.
Yeah, that's his one. Yeah. He didn't get his love of his wife, his only love he's ever seen before in his life. Think about your first love. Think about the first time you got your heart broken. Like, imagine the feelings that any Dylan who's only been alive for a couple of years gets a first actual heartbreak.
This is fair. This is fair.
I feel you. You want
So,
to do. I get it.
okay.
But I can get Helly too on the best day.
I can get like with Dylan too, but I'm like, Ellie's just, I just love the badass. Like immediately it was just like, fuck you, I'm gonna fight my way out of here. And like
Yeah, fuck this place.
I'm gonna do everything to like say fuck the corporation. And
And a suicide attempt?
there's a part of me that's just like, you know what? You're my spirit, innie.
Yes. Fuck
Like,
this.
fuck
I'm
the
not doing this
man.
shit.
You're the man, but fuck the man. Like, that's literally her. She's the
Why did they
man
put
who
Helly?
fucks the man. That too, I don't get that.
Why did they put Helly down there in the first place? I guess this question is beginning or not. Like, why
To
put an
paint
Egan
a
down?
story, to tell the story of that's what it showed in the
The
season one
Goonies?
finale. Yeah, the show
Yeah,
like
was that
this.
it?
I don't,
Show the
probably
story of the
not.
Egan. It's okay, but there's got to be a reason they put it down. More than just
To build the
still.
consciousness of her father.
Sounds like.
So that he can be a part of the board. Don't know. That's.
Is the part of the board?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't. Such a good show. Thank you for having me watch it. It was great. I enjoyed binge watching it. I enjoyed adding it to my very busy schedule because it was a worthy watch. I don't watch a lot of shows that I'm like, that's a five. Five minus, but it's a five. I don't get that.
Yeah, pretty good show.
I think it's visually stunning. It's just Ben Stiller directing is actually surprisingly really, really good. I like when I'm just like, that's Zoolander. I tell Sapphire, I'm like, that's Zoolander. Like, that's who's directing
Like, I have Ben Stiller 100%. He can't be anything
it.
else. Never seen The Secret Life of Walter Mitty? It was so good.
Meet the Fockers? No, just Zoolander.
Meet the Fockers? Zoolander. I got Zoolander. I was shocked when I found Ben Stiller directed it, because some of those camera angles and scenes.
Dude, you know, it's like so that. Good.
That like, was so good.
It's a, it's visually pleasing. The choreography's great. It's like funny in the stupidest ways. Like it's like a, it's a comedic show in like a very dry sense. Like, why are you that age? Because of when I was born.
Yeah,
like,
damn it.
Like, yeah, shit. Okay, that's like low key. Like Mr. Milchick just.
Milchick's dances too at the end. You're like, I just. If I was in that room, we're like, oh god, please stop.
Like, it's
let
just
a band play.
It's a very comedic show. So, like, thank you for having me watch it. It's great. I am excited for season 3 when it comes in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whenever they come out. So, but I also would say they could end the show here, and I don't think it's a terrible ending.
No, I don't think it is either.
Like they definitely have more, and I don't want it to end, but I'm like they could end it here, and it ends in that whole like, does Mark find love with Helen, or does like what happened? Like there's that sense of like he chose yep. love, and I'm like, you could end there, please don't, but you could.
Yeah, please don't. Please decide how he could still be a villain.
Ooh. I have a question for you. Okay, last question, and then we'll call it. Would you rather have the show end at season 2, right where that like no other thing comes out, it ends right where it left it, or would you rather have a season 3 like Westworld, where it just kills all interest in the show, Game of Thrones style?
Game of Thrones style, indeed. Oh, sons of bitches. Don't bring that up. That's why I worry about every ending now, because of that show. I'm so traumatized. I think I'd rather have it end at season 2.
Yeah.
Westworld or Game of Thrones this.
There's always that hope of like, maybe they come back. Maybe they do season 3. Maybe they animate season 3. But if they like Game of Thrones it and it's a really shitty finale, it's like, it was a good show.
Everyone, that's be like on the historical things, the most dream shows of all time.
So sad. So sad. Game of Thrones.
Be okay. Just remake it. Just redo it. Season 8 never happened. Nothing.
Can we just get an animated version of Game of Thrones from that point and onward? I mean, I guess just do the whole show animated, but I think that's the only way we're going to get a really good, accurate story of Game of Thrones with a really good ending is it being animated. That being said, we're never getting Winds of Winter and we're never getting Dream of Spring. Like, that's just not happening.
Nah.
George R. R. Martin is like me in comic books. He just hit a point where he's like, I can't do it anymore. I mentally just cannot go further. It's just I'm done with, I'm like at chapter 8. We're not moving forward.
Yep. The story's over.
This is like one of the only few people who read my comic book. You're the only one who gets that reference.
Yep. He just stopped one day. That's pretty much what happened.
I didn't know how to write a big plot point, and I just never figured it out. And it's still there waiting.
Hero. He's just out there. He's in the
ether. Yeah, he's in a good spot.
Somewhere. The old cop lady's just out there being. Shit, I won.
Hey, you remember the story.
Yeah, the old story is pretty good. That's what
That's fair. Oh, look.
That's the story.
All right. I still have all the outlines. Who knows? I'll go look at it and be like, aha, I'm going to finish the story.
I started the book and I did 2 chapters. I'm writing a 13-page chapter book.
Then 2 chapters in. You George R. R. Martin it.
You know, I did the same shit. I was like, I could write this whole thing. I really just want people to read it.
Just write, baby. Just write. That's all they say. George R. R. Martin, just fucking write. That's it. All right. We're going to call it here. Thank you, Donald. Thank you for leading and hosting.
Yeah. Thanks for staying late.
Yep.
You're the best.